Major Hamilton, writing in the Royal Central Asian Journal, referring to the Austrian stand in Habaneira, stated, their loyalty and gallantry in Habaneira may well someday be claimed as their greatest contribution to mankind. The present Archbishop of Canterbury stated, when the Nazis had seized Syria and the Arabs of the Golden Horde were advancing from Baghdad to join hands with them, it was the Assyrians who, with the Royal Air Force, held Habaneira on the desert route and so stopped them from marching to the Persian Gulf Sea and saving India and Egypt changed the issue of the war. Since the war ended, the Assyrian troops have been reduced to the minimum by the British, but at the same time, they are being conscripted into the Iraqi army. This fact is of great significance as a pointer to the future events in the Middle East, for hitherto the Iraqi government shunned recruitment of Assyrians. The fact is now that the events that have recently taken place in Azerbaijan have set the Kurds in Iraq restless. Thousands of them have already joined the forces of the influential Kurd, Sheikh Mahmoud of Barzan, who deserted Iraq and joined the Azerbaijan Russian-sponsored republic. The Iraqi Arab army has, as already been shown, is not much as a fighting force, and for mountain warfare it is worse than useless. They know there is only one element in Iraq of which the excellent Kurdish fighter is unwilling to come to grips, and that is the Assyrian. Secondly, except for religion, the Assyrian and the Kurd racially have much in common, and both are anxious to live together amicably. Therefore, from the Iraqi government's point of view, and of which the British are not unaware, it is now the time to pit the Assyrians and the Kurds against each other, no doubt with the most appalling results, especially for the Assyrians. The Russians, on the other hand, who are unquestionably and naturally equally interested in the Iraqi oil and its strategic importance, are, as the key to the Middle East, are not unaware of these facts. The problems of the Middle East are therefore not ideological. Both communism and democracy are equally non-existent. Nor is it the racial problem between the Jew, the Arab, the Kurd, and the half a million Assyrians, thousands of whom now live happily as the citizens of the United States of America, many of these in Chicago, but it's one of our politics. It's the old game of divide and rule. These peoples have lived together since the dawn of history. Each has respected the aspirations and the historical rights of the other, and if left to themselves, they could work out their problems. Therefore, the solution to this explosive political situation in the Middle East lies in the realization and fulfillment of the natural aspirations of the various elements referred to, and the formation of a united republic of the Middle East, similar to that which has already been worked out in the case of Syria and Lebanon. There is more than plenty of room for all of them, and they could each make their definite contributions to the common cause, thus disposing with a problem that may result in the most far-reaching international consequences. This indeed, in a world where the advent of the aeroplane, the rocket, and finally the atom have nullified time and space, would be the height of folly to bring about because of a blind policy of national greed. God has given the United States of America a position and prestige which no other nation has enjoyed in history. May it use it wisely and effectively for the good of all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to His Holiness Mareshai Shimon, temporal and spiritual head of the Assyrian people, speaking to you this afternoon on the subject Significance of Middle East Events. Those of you who may desire copies of his address can secure them by writing to Carson Peary Scott and Company, Chicago 3, Illinois. Next Sunday at this same time, over this station, an address will be delivered by Governor Ellis Arnold of Georgia. Governor Arnold has been very much in the public eye recently and is considered a most excellent speaker. We invite you to tune this station at 1:45 p.m. each Sunday. In the weeks that are to come, the speakers include Randolph Churchill, son of Winston Churchill, Colonel Thomas Chu, former secretary to General Chiang Kai-shek, Mrs. Theodore Roosevelt, one of America's most distinguished women, and Carl Taylor, banker and well-known businessman of Waukesha, Wisconsin. We should like to take this opportunity to express the appreciation of our sponsor, Carson Peary Scott and Company, to His Holiness Mareshai Shimon for his appearance on our broadcast this afternoon. This is WGN Chicago, serving the Middle West.